Jati kvapi lata bhujashrayas. Tadashraya vyakta padat dvijas praha. Kachit kadachit dadi chakratas tasan. Sakyam vidhadhe bhaka kanka gridhrai. Prasajati kapi lata bhujashrayas. Tadashraya vyakta padat dvijas praha. Kachit kadachit dadi chakratas trasan. Sakyam vidadhe bhaka kanka gridhrai. Prasajati. Become more and more attached. Kapi. Sometimes. Lata bhuja ashraya. Who takes shelter of the soft arms of his beautiful wife, which are like creepers. Tad ashraya, who are sheltered by such creepers. Avyakta pada, who sing unclear songs. Dvija spraha, desiring to hear birds. Pachit, sometimes. Kadachit, somewhere. Hari chakrata trasan, being afraid of the roaring sound of a lion. Sakyam, friendship. Vidhate, makes. Baka kanka gridhrai, with cranes, herons, and vultures. Translation, sometimes the living entity in the forest of material existence takes shelter of creepers and desires to hear the chirping of the birds in those creepers. Being afraid of roaring lions in the forest, he makes friends with cranes, herons, and vultures. Purport. In the forest of the material world, there are many animals and birds, trees and creepers. Sometimes, the living entity wants to take shelter of the creepers, semicolon, in other words, he wants to be happy being embraced by the creeper-like arms of his wife. Within the creepers, there are many chirping birds, semicolon. This indicates that he wants to satisfy himself by hearing the sweet voice of his wife. In old age, however, he sometimes becomes afraid of imminent death, which is compared to a roaring lion. To save himself from the lion's attack, he takes shelter of some bogus swamis, yogis, incarnations, pretenders, and cheaters. Being misled by the illusory energy, in this way he spoils his life. It is said, Harim mina mritim na taranti. No one can be saved from the imminent danger of death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Hari indicates the lion as well as the Supreme Lord. To be saved from the hands of Hari, the lion of death, one must take shelter of the Supreme Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People with a poor fund of knowledge take shelter of non-devotee cheaters and pretenders in order to be saved from the clutches of death in the forest of material world. The living entity, first of all, wants to be very happy by taking shelter of the creeper-like arms of his wife and hearing her sweet voice. Later, he sometimes takes shelter of so-called gurus and sadhus who are like cranes, herons, and vultures. Thus he is cheated both ways by not taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. Anybody not familiar with this section and needs a little background about this section? Judd Barrett and Rahugana. Okay. You know who Judd Barrett is? Barrett Maharaj became a deer, became Judd Barrett. And Maharaj Rahugana is the king during that time. And the servants of the king thought Judd Barrett, because he was playing the role of someone who was an avaduta, mad, incoherent, but with a strong body, he'll be a suitable palanquin carrier. And so they needed one, and they engaged him as a palanquin carrier. But he didn't carry the palanquin properly, because he was more concerned about stepping on ants than about the king and the palanquin. So the king twice shouted at him and insulted him and threatened him and spoke like an arrogant person. And then Judd Barrett, for the first time in his life, started speaking. And he spoke so eloquently, in a mysterious way, that the king, two things. The king got off his palanquin, paid his obeisances, appealed to Judd Barrett to please forgive him, because he didn't understand, until he spoke, his elevated position of consciousness. And then, the second thing, the king asked Judd Barrett, "I couldn't follow what you said. Could you say it again? Like, you know, a little simpler, please?" So he said it again. And then Maharaj Rahugana was overwhelmed, like, wow. And it wasn't over. This chapter that we've been discussing is metaphorical. There are a few passages in the Bhagavatam that are not literal histories. This is one of them. It's metaphorical, intentionally metaphorical, where a person in material existence finds out that material existence isn't a nice place. But everybody in material existence is here because we want a nice place, thinking this is going to be a nice place. The misuse of free will, choosing enjoyment separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is illusion. There is no such thing. And so the metaphor is in that forest of material existence, here's the reality, or here's the subjective experience of such a person. So a refrain in all of these verses is kadachit, kvachit, kadachit, sometimes this and sometimes that, because there's variety in the material world. There's variety of desire, and there's variety of the subjective experience of the material world. The uniform dynamic is expecting happiness, and the other uniform dynamic is something else happens. So that's the context. Judd Barrett's position is he's at the topmost stage of devotion. He's at this topmost stage of devotion because of his qualification as Bharat Maharaj, topmost stage. Some detail, but he was, Bharat Maharaj had attained the stage of Bhava Bhakti, which is way up there, just preliminary to Prema Bhakti, is Bhava Bhakti. So in this life as Jad Bharat, he's continuing in this Bhava Bhakti into the Prema Bhakti stage. He remembers everything from his life as Bharat Maharaj, his life as a deer. So he's not under illusion. Illusion curtain has been pulled back by Krishna. So he can see reality. And he's helping the king see reality, the stark, naked anatomy of material existence. Kind of like an anatomy class. The anatomy of material existence. And it, on the outside looks pretty, and the inside is something else. But so what keeps one going step after step after step into the forest of material existence is the expectation of happiness in the next step. Even the previous step and so many other steps were not happiness. In the real sense of happiness, in the permanent, unchanging, ever-increasing sense of that's what real happiness is, there's the expectation and something else happens. So he, Jad Bharat, is describing the plight of the person, the king, who is expecting happiness, or any conditioned soul who is expecting happiness. At the end of this long section, Rahugana gets it. Because he's actually, somehow, doesn't tell us how, somehow Jad Bharat understood the king is actually very qualified. Because he didn't speak to anybody before that. But somehow he understood the king is very qualified. But he's covered with false ego thinking, I'm the king, da 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 da. And so that's in that first section where he pops the bubble of Rahugana thinking in illusion. And now he's carrying, so Rahugana at the end, he becomes not just out of illusion, but he becomes a very elevated person by the mercy of Jad Bharat, who's removing his ignorance, because our Vedic teaching, Vaishnava understanding of the Vedic teaching is the root of all suffering is ignorance. And when ignorance is removed, then the natural condition of a living entity is restored. That is, happiness instead of suffering. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kamsati samak sarveshu bhuteshu. And then one can come to the position of bhakti. Bhakti not just in the practice stage, but in the mature stage. So the illusion, the ignorance of the king is being removed by this whole sequence, series of illuminating teachings. So the sometimes in this verse is in the forest, sometimes the sojourner in the forest, he becomes attracted to the creepers in the forest. And he takes shelter of the creepers in the forest. And then the creepers have chirping birds, and he becomes charmed and enamored by the chirping birds and the creeper in the forest that he's taken shelter of. Now, how the king understands all of this, we don't hear, but the purport tells us what is intended in this allegorical story. The creepers are compared to the arms of his wife, and the chirping birds is the sweet sound of the voice of his wife, and he becomes charmed. Although going through the forest, especially considering what all the other parts of the forest are that we've heard, it's not a pleasant ride. But he continues anyways because he's taking shelter of the embrace of the arms of his wife, the sweet voice of his wife, and lives his life in some kind of illusory contentment. It's not what real happiness is. The real happiness is boundless, limitless. That's real happiness. And ever increasing. That's real happiness. Not sometimes, sometimes not, sometimes, sometimes not, sometimes, and then the sometimes not is misery. And so that means even the sometimes is a prelude to misery. That's the first half. Then the second half of the verse is, then being afraid of the roar of lions, the sojourner in the forest of material existence, material enjoyment, takes shelter of other animals, in this case birds, cranes, herons, vultures. So the unpacking that allegorical story, Prabhupada explains, is the roar of the lion, because Hari has different meanings depending upon the context. Hari generally means one who takes away. Hari, one who takes away. And ultimately the one who takes away is the source of where everything is given. That source of everything that's given is the absolute truth, and the absolute truth can extend and withdraw things. So Hari, those who take shelter of Hari, he takes away everything inauspicious and replaces everything inauspicious with everything auspicious. The common explanation is given that he has thousands and thousands of hands. No matter how much you hold on to stuff, his thousands and thousands of hands can take it all away, and you can't stop that. At the same time, his thousands and thousands of hands, so many, he can give you everything auspicious, so you can't receive it all. And that's the special favor of Hari. Or one who is in a relationship of shelter with Hari instead of the creepers of the forest. So death, one of the taking away is taking away life, and Hari in this case means the roar of the lion. So being afraid of the approaching death, it is found, Jed Bharat's explanation is, one takes shelter of other entities, as if those other entities are a crane or a vulture can protect you from a lion if a lion comes to attack. So twice in the purport, these other entities are, when one is feeling fear, then taking shelter of yogis, swamis, and pretenders and cheaters that will promise you anything without having the capacity to deliver that anything. There's this explanation given by the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas when Vibhishan takes shelter of Ram. He leaves the assembly of Ravan and he has this mystic power, something like Hanuman. He rises in the air, right in the midst of the assembly, and travels in the air all the way to where Ram is. And following him are four of his ministers. So he's hovering in the air with folded palms. He doesn't come in for a landing right away. He approaches the associates of Ram and asks them to convey his message. He would like to take shelter of Ram. And so the four ministers, the acharyas say, represent two aspects of the one who is surrendering and two aspects of one who is taking, one who is giving shelter. Their explanation goes like this. Those who are taking shelter, it's both the positive and negative. They have no other shelter, and there's exclusive shelter. Kind of same thing, just, you know, positive and negative, or flip side of the same coin. You're looking puzzled. Yeah.
Oh, I'll stay out of it for a second.
Okay, I'll say it again, because your forehead was saying what's going on here. Exclusive shelter, no other shelter. That's the person who's wishing to take shelter. And then the one who is giving shelter, the qualification is they actually have the capacity to deliver. And the other is they're not discriminating based upon some material standard. You don't have the right birth, you don't have the right wealth, you don't have the right education, you don't have, you know. Simplicity, saralata is the word that they use. Simplicity. It's kind of like samadarshana. They see equally all living entities. How to give shelter to all living entities, appropriate to the position, and they have the power, the strength, the capacity to deliver. So these cranes, herons, and vultures don't have the capacity to protect one from a lion, nor do the yogis, pretender yogis, swamis, and so forth, have the capacity to protect one from death. But they take the position as if they are. And that's a great misfortune, both for the one who wants protection and those who are pretenders who pretend that they can give protection. Because they can't give protection, but Hari can give protection. So the one who's giving protection is one who either indicates or even more practically takes one to the shelter of Hari. And one who has such shelter is protected from the roar of the lion, or protected from death. It's not that if you take shelter of one who is a representative of Hari, the body won't die. That's not the promise. That's a misunderstanding. If one thinks that way, that's a misunderstanding. But protect one from the cycle of birth and death, so there's no more birth and death, and thus the exit from this body is no return. Punar janma na. No more cycle of birth and death, finished. That's the mandate of the human form of life, liberation. But not in the ordinary sense of liberation, but in the Vaishnava sense of liberation. Vaishnava sense of liberation means taking shelter of Hari. Full shelter. Supposing one wants full shelter and you don't make it. You're somewhere in between no shelter and full shelter. Bhagavad Gita teaches, no loss. You just continue in your next life from there. Something like, not exactly the same, but something like Bharat Maharaj became a deer, became Jed Bharat, and perfection. Or King Chitraketu became Vritrasura, went to Vaikuntha. We continue where we left off. So no loss. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Mahabhaya trayate mahato bhayat. Mahabhaya means greatest fear. Prabhupada explained the greatest fear is seeing the Yamadutas. So fortunately, for those who engage in even a slight amount of devotional service, they won't see the Yamadutas. But if one doesn't receive the human form of life and doesn't engage in devotional service, fair chance one's going to see the Yamadutas. And seeing the Yamadutas means drag through the court of Yamaraj and down to the lower planetary system before even taking the next physical form of life. That's Mahabhaya. So aside from not experiencing that Mahabhaya, because the devotional service is spiritual, it's not lost. Like money accumulated in this life, when you die, it's lost. And anything else is lost because it's of the material nature. Now, propensities may carry with you both good and bad. Prabhupada made this declaration about John Lennon. Remember this one? No? He said John Lennon in his previous life was a great musician. Very celebrated musician. So in this life, from his childhood, he was inclined to be a great musician. And they have all these different things of little children singing in a voice that's like an opera person's voice. Little kids. And everyone goes. But, it's a continuation. So even some of those material assets carry with you, what to speak of spiritual ones. And then you can say that the bad ones too. Supposing someone, something, had some traumatic experience in their previous life, that stays with one into this life. The impressions are stay. The body changes, but anyway, so what to speak of spiritual? The spiritual asset stays with you. So the conclusion of the whole chapter, we'll have to wait and see when we get there, but it's take shelter of Hari, basically. No surprise. And that's the reference that Prabhupada makes in the purport, text 16. He doesn't indicate where the reference is from, but Harim Vina Mritim na taranti. No one can be saved from imminent danger of death without taking shelter of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, saved from the imminent danger of death is not that you'll be saved from death. The imminent danger of death is you don't know where you're going. Walk out the door and go to your next place and you don't know you're going to get there. I mean, we act as if we know where we're going to get there. We have a plan, we're going to go to something. One fine day, we're going to have a plan to get somewhere, we won't get there. Poof, it's over. Or something. An accident and we're in a hospital, or who we don't know. I've been, somehow Krishna has arranged it. I've been meeting people, like a whole lot of people, that in confidence, sometimes even in a public forum, they just share, they have fear. And, you know, the varieties of that fear are different, and the thing that they're fearful of is different. Sometimes it's death, or sometimes it's different things. But, you know, so fear has, often is connected with the uncertainty of the future, but who's certain about the future? Death and taxes, as Prabhupada says. Those are the only things that are certain. Death and taxes. But how that's going to play itself out? So the uncertainty of the future, that's a prompt for fear, but the fearlessness is you take shelter of Hari, and whether it's this or that, you're okay, because you're at the within the shelter of Hari, who gives his protection, whether it's this or that. And that's this, that's the statement, this imminent danger of death. We're protected from the imminent danger of death because of shelter of Hari. It's not that you won't die, or it's not that, within the body will live forever, say it negatively, or the other way around. The body will live forever. But the fear arises, vayam dutriyama binivesi takshat, fear arises from absorption in the temporary. It's exactly this chapter, seeking happiness in the temporary, where there's no happiness. Happiness and illusion. Water in a desert. There's no water in a desert by definition. There's no happiness in this material world. But we, like donkeys, keep going after it. There's the carrot. And a stick. One more step to get the carrot. Like a donkey. We keep doing it. Jed Bart is removing that darkness of ignorance that's the cause of suffering from Rahugana, and it works. So he becomes a very elevated personality. And this is what saintly people do. There's so many examples of this in the Bhagavatam. That's why we're encouraged to read the Bhagavatam every day. Let's see if there's some discussion.
Krishna Guru Maharaj. So we talked about this, taking this wrong shelters.
I'm listening.
My question is that because of because of the lack of knowledge they take this wrong shelters. So would there be any opportunity for those type of people to get in at any point in their life? to get that knowledge, or
what?
Or be continue, you know, in that type of shelters for them.
Do you understand her question?
Okay, I'll repeat it. Some people, they take this, you know, in the wrong shelter, afraid of something else, like what it says in the translation.
For persons who have taken wrong shelter, is it possible to get on the other side? And the answer is
it's
yes.
It's because of lack of knowledge, they go into the wrong shelter, right?
Yeah.
So, is there any way that they get a chance to get that real knowledge?
Yeah, we preach Krishna consciousness. As representatives of those who are great souls, we're not great souls, but we're representatives of those who are great souls, and we show by example and we speak by our words, inappropriate to the person.
And then there is one.
Prachar and achar, both are the medium. So we need the good fortune of such persons. We can be the medium on behalf of those great souls so that good fortune can come to others. Distribute books. Right, Chakri? Huh? Well, we're all book distributors. We're meant to be. Okay.
Sure, Maharaj. And then one, we talked about this fear, right? So we have to take shelter of the Supreme Hari to take out of our
fear.
So my question is, whoever takes shelter of like other, like demigods or Shivites, who are really follower of that, like sincere souls, for them...
Finish your sentence. For them what?
For them, the fear... this type of fear will be there, or how it will be removed?
Well, of course. Now, they may feel protected because of that piety. You know, they may feel protected by their piety, just like demons feel protected by their impiety. But when the time of death comes, because of shelter in the impermanent, and that sense of piety or, you know, defiance of Hari, the demoniac mentality, they have their ups and downs too in the course of life, what to speak of at the end of life. Okay?
Sure, thank you.
Anyone else? No? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned that we always hear that root cause of suffering is ignorance.
Mm.
So I'm thinking that for removing ignorance, is purification is required. And like we are here in classes, like you amazingly put about fears. And it goes, seems like it goes deeper in the heart.
And then?
But somewhere it doesn't touch the core, seems
yes,
like.
Exactly. It's necessary but not sufficient.
Yeah. So what stops? What doesn't let?
Bhakti. It's our relationship with Krishna, and our rebelliousness in our relationship with Krishna. That's the core. So you know the four, according, this is Kapila's teaching to Devahuti. I like it. You can find it in. Chapter 29. by knowledge and other forms of elevation. Prabhupada uses a term commonly, high-grade activities, austerity, penance, sacrifice, knowledge, etc., etc. One can experience some mitigation, upliftment, right? You know, meditation. There's this higher place and higher happiness, but the modes of nature pull one back down again. Knowledge alone is not enough. So sufficient is bhakti, because from bhakti, as it matures, knowledge and detachment are awakened naturally by bhakti. So the core is bhakti. And the obstacle for bhakti is a rebellious attitude towards Krishna. I mean, what brings us here to begin with. So that's the core struggle. We hear and then must take shelter. We can try to take shelter, but if we're in ignorance, it's taking shelter itself is a struggle. So we hear, but it's not just knowledge in the gyan sense, it's knowledge in the bhakti sense that stimulates bhakti, that submission unto Krishna, the eradication of our misgivings in our relationship with Krishna. And we have to hear it again and again. Jiva Goswami explains this. Why we have to, if it's sufficient, then why not one name, or why not, hearing one class or something like that? Why again and again? Why is it repetition necessary? And his answer is because of anarthas in the heart, which are insidious. They don't go away so easily. Therefore, every day for a prolonged period of time with faith. That's the formula. Of course, in association of those who have that same capacity, those who have faith, those that have a Krishna connection that's vibrant and strong. We need that. More?
You're good. You already answered, because I was thinking that since the purity is not there, bhakti, touching, even connecting with Krishna, trying is... very
intermittent.
Shallow.
Yeah, sure. Anushita bhakti. Therefore, for a prolonged period of time with faith. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, often I hear bhakti is favorable for someone who is bhakti is favorable for someone who is not too much detached or too much attached.
That's Krishna speaking.
Krishna speaking. At the same time, today, you spoke about Hari means one who takes away.
Mm.
So how do we understand in terms of, is it too much detachment or is it taking away? Hari is taking away.
Oh, come on. This is a college question. It's my terminology. Meaning, it's an intellectual exercise, but really what the essence is, why avoid taking shelter of Krishna anyway? Because that's really the essence. And so, too much attachment means material. Too much detachment means impersonal. So material and impersonal are obstacles. So now the person that's neither too much this or too much that, they have access to their relationship with Hari. And those that are way over there on either extreme, they have no interest at any point in time to take shelter of Hari. Then Hari takes away whatever is residual. No, but it's not in a flash. It's gradual because our material tendency, the attached tendency, is strong. Or the impersonal tendency is strong. So it's gradual.
Okay, very much.
And Hari takes away. And he gives. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, we spoke briefly about anarthas, and I've been wondering for a long time if anarthas are of the soul or of the mind.
Well, they're not of the soul because the soul is pure. The common expression is anarthas in the heart. Then comes this question, you know, what's the heart? What's the difference between the heart and the mind? That question. You know that. So, it's not of the soul. The soul has a natural inclination, so it's a covering of some kind or another. It's not of the soul. So where that takes shelter, you can say the mind, or you can say our deepest held convictions, and you know, how is that something other than the mind? But it's the deepest held convictions. That's the heart. That's my explanation of what that means, the heart. And it's, you know, our deepest held convictions are covered because of anarthas. It's not of the soul though. It's a covering of the soul, but not of the soul. Okay? Krishna, Krishna. See the Prabhupada key?
Yeah.